With our message, we're going to look at 2 Kings. You can turn there in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 4. We come to witness a very interesting miracle that God did through the hands of His servant Elisha. We read together 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in your house. She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, the oil stopped. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. Now, what we see here is a preacher's wife that has unfortunately become a widow. And she's saddled with debt. The creditors were coming to collect the debt. Now, in that day, in Bible days, they would not come to repossess your car or foreclose on your home. They would take you and your kids to be slaves to work off that debt. Aren't we glad that doesn't happen today? Well, maybe some folks might think it's great. But here's a woman up against the wall. She has nowhere to turn. She turns to Elisha, the prophet. And all she has to her name is a little jar of olive oil. Actually, they say it's a pot, but it was really a small flask used primarily for anointing purposes or for funeral purposes. That was the custom in those times. So Elisha tells her, you need to go out and all your neighbors and friends borrow as many pots or jars that you can. And the miracle was that when she took that little vessel of oil, she poured it in a pot, it filled that. And then she did it again to another pot and it filled that. And the oil, that was the miracle. The oil kept coming. It was truly an amazing miracle. And so she was able to pay off her debt and save her sons from becoming indentured servants. Now, there are several lessons to be learned from this miracle. And a lot of times I'll sit down, I'll read this text, and I'll take out my little sheets of paper, and I'll just I'll write down some practical points that I get out of it. I've done this for years. And I don't really, I just randomly write them down. I don't try to put an order to them or anything. And then I'll select a few from this to make my practical points. But here's seven things I wrote down from reading this miracle. Number one, God can multiply what you already have. Number two, it's best to get out of debt. I thought that was a good point. Number three, what do you have in your house already? Number four, God can do greater than we ask or think. Number five, you get as much as you have faith for. Number six, here's one of my favorite sayings, do your best and trust God for the rest. I like that. And number seven, we are just jars of clay, but filled with the Holy Spirit. So I just selected a few of these lessons out of there to dwell on. And lesson number one is that God can do greater things than we can possibly imagine. He multiplied a miracle of oil. God does great things. The Bible says in Job, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. God does amazing miracles. You know, I still believe God can do miracles. I've seen it happen. Psalm 126, verse 2 says, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing, and then they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. My stepdad, who passed just last week, he really was not a church goer. He went to church. My grandpa, step-grandpa, Wilton Glass, and Dorothy were members of the Pilgrim Holiness Church. They were holiness Pentecostals. In fact, my grandpa Wilton wrote several hymns in the Pentecostal hymn book that are still there today. In fact, I recorded one of his songs on my CD out there. And it was an adventure. They used to take me to their church down there on Limestone Street in Lexington, little bitty white building. And you could hear what was going on for blocks down there around Limestone Street. And they were, the Pentecostal holiness folks were pretty excited. In fact, as a little boy, I really liked going there because I watched people run around the church buildings. I saw them jump in pews. I'm serious. They would roll on the floor and foam at the mouth, you know, and speak in other tongues and all that. And I said, man, this is exciting, you know. Then I became a Baptist and died. But anyway, my stepdad taught us, he always taught us a little prayer, and he always asked me to repeat it. Maybe he knew I was going to be a preacher, but his little prayer was, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. That's a good prayer. But God is great, and God can provide for you and even go beyond to give you a lot of oil, to give you a great abundance. God can do these things. And so the woman paid the debt, and it says she lived, thou and thy children, on the rest. She was able to live on everything above that. So here's the story of a needy woman, and she shared her burden with the man of God. Let me suggest, and I know this is hard to do because I found it hard to do myself, that and because there have been times that I've had a need. There have been times that I needed something. Maybe it was repair on my car or just something else, but I needed something and I was just too embarrassed to ask somebody or to share it with the church. And even as a pastor, I guess it's the independent guy in me always felt like, no, I don't want to tell the church about that. You know, they might think that I'm imposing on them or asking them for something like that. And so I always kept it to myself. And maybe that's not right, you know, because the woman goes to the man of God and she shares with him her need. Let me suggest that you should share your need with the Lord's people. There's nothing wrong with that. Share your need with the Lord's people. And why do I say that? Here's why. God can lay a burden on the heart of those who have to help you. And that's the way God works. He can lay it on the heart of somebody in that church, or maybe more than one, to help you. And that's, you know what? That's a blessing for them. And I've been on both ends of that, where I had a need, and God helped me through others, and then I've seen others have a need, and God enabled me to help them. A friend of mine, Dave Parks, you know, we took up an offering for him, and let me say, he did express to me, tell the people at church, thank you for helping me. Dave Parks, my good friend in Lexington, Kentucky, retired pastor, through the storm Milton, it went all the way up there and it flooded his basement. And he had to hire one of those services to come in there and take the water out. And man, he had to redo his drywall and, the whole thing. And he was telling me about it. And immediately, the Lord laid on my heart and said, you need to help him. And just to show you how God works, because I had already figured the amount of money that I was personally going to give him. I'm not going to tell you, but the Lord laid on my heart, here's what you need to give Dave Parks to help him with cleaning this up. Because I knew it was several thousand dollars. And the amazing thing is, I told my wife about it, and she told me the exact amount we ought to give. And I hadn't even told her that. Isn't that amazing how that works? And so here, the widow had, listen, if this widow had not bothered the prophet, if she hadn't come to him, well, what if she just kept all that secret? She kept all that to herself. Well, you say, well, surely the Lord knows. Yes, the Lord knows. But let's understand that God uses people who have empty jars. There are people, neighbors and friends and loved ones in Christ that have jars to give you. God can fill up the jars. But you need to ask the Lord and you need to, you know, over in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 11, you see another instance of this. Jesus gave a story here of a person who had need. And he relates the story in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Imagine that. Midnight. Well, you're in bed. What if someone knocks on your door at midnight? Well, you'd probably call the police, and rightly so. And the guy, he's really not asking for himself. In verse 6, he said, a friend of mine and his journey's come to me. I have nothing to set before him. I don't have any food for him or anything. And he from within shall answer and say, well, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you anything. It's too late. In other words, go away. I can't do anything for you. Now what Jesus say? Jesus, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So that's the friend, you know, the neighbor, because he knows this man's in trouble. He knows he has a need, and God lays upon his heart to help. Now notice how Jesus brings in then prayer into the picture. Verse 9, Jesus said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What is he saying? We need to ask the Lord, not just once, but we need to be persistent in asking the Lord. We need to ask the Lord for our need. We need to seek the Lord for our need. We need to knock on God's door repeatedly to ask him to meet our need. And will God the Father meet your need? Well, look at verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? In other words, you ask, I need some bread to eat. Is a good father going to give you a rock to eat? No, he's not. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake or some kind of serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In Matthew's account, it's different. He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father give good things to those who ask him? So Luke says the Holy Spirit. Matthew says good things. How do you reconcile those two different things there? Well, it is the Holy Spirit that ultimately imparts good things for us. It could be a loaf of bread, but most of us can get that at the Walmart. The point is, the Lord surely knows every need that you have. God knows it all. He knows your need. And we ought to ask him to meet our needs. And I tell you, from reading what Jesus said, I get the impression that God the Father, he wants to bless you. He wants to provide for you. Our problem all too often is, as James says, we have not because we ask not. I don't know why, but we just feel, well, you know, I don't want to, I sure don't want to bother the preacher about this, and I don't want to bother Jesus about it either. Oh, no. That's what the preacher's here for. And that's what Jesus loves to do, is to meet your need. He gives the Holy Spirit as a gift. And, you know, we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit for about everything we're going to do for God. And I find myself evermore asking for the Holy Spirit when contemplating standing in this sacred place before you to deliver God's Word. Oh Lord, I pray that what I'm doing is not in the energy of my flesh, but that what I'm doing is by the anointing power of God the Holy Spirit as we proclaim the Word. And unless the Spirit works, it's not going to happen. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit just to be witnesses for Christ. So one of those good things would be, I think, leading souls to Jesus. God will give good things to that. Do you ever ask the Lord to give you souls? Lord, give me lost souls. Well, we need to pray that. We need to pray that. Why is there no soul winning? Why is that? Well, it's because there's no spirit filling. Why don't we see things happening in the Lord's church? Why don't we? It's because a lot of times it's not that God's changed. He don't change. The Bible's still the same. The problem is we're not asking. We're not being energized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's the lesson number two, is that God fills empty vessels with the Holy Spirit. Now you got to be empty before God can fill you and use you. I mean, if you think you've already arrived, I mean, if you think you've already got it, you know, it's like those people, you know, sitting out and they, well, I know more than that preacher. He can't show me anything. He can't teach me anything. And they're so filled with themselves and conceitedness that God will never use them. But I tell you, if you have an emptiness, if you've got an empty vessel, God can fill that with the oil of the Holy Spirit. That's the point. And remember that oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. You check that out in your Bible. They would anoint priests and prophets with oil. They would anoint kings with oil. And that was a type of the Spirit's anointing that would come upon them. So we read there in Luke chapter 11 about the gifts that God gives to those who seek and ask Him. And He said, well, now, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You just got to ask Him. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. God answers that. And God can give you an anointing. There have been many times that I've stood before God's people, stood before a church and preached. And I brought out things that wasn't in these notes. And all I can say is the Lord put that in there. He put that in here for me to say. Now, I'm all for having notes, okay? But there's no notes that can replace the Holy Ghost when He puts something in your heart and mind. Because He knows, you know, He knows what the people need. Lesson number three is a motto that I have used all my life for about everything. We should do our best and trust God for the rest. And that's what somebody one time asked me. I was on the first tee in a tournament, and some guy, you know, he said, "Well, George, what's your goal today? What do you want to do today?" And I say, "What's your goal?" And I say, something like, "Well, I want to defeat my enemies and hear the wailing of their women." No, I say this. What do you want to accomplish? What's your goal? Here it is. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to trust God for the rest. Hey, I think that's a great testimony. Now, I doubt that's original with me. I don't know. But the idea is simply this, that God can supply. God can give you what you need. God can fill your vessels with overflowing oil. Listen, God can supply But we got to get moving. Okay? I mean, the widow didn't just sit in her house and say, well, I hope that they're going to bring by some of those jars that I need. No. The prophet said, go to your neighbors, go to your friends. You get as many jars, empty vessels. You go out and get these empty jars from your neighbors. Get as many as you can. So that means her and her sons had to go out there and work a little bit. They had to go out there and rustle the bushes. They had to knock on some doors to get the vessels. That is her human responsibility. She experienced the miracle of oil, but she still had to get the vessels, and not only that, she had to draw that oil out and put it in the vessels. You know that must have taken a while. And then she had to go out and probably get Joel to make her a sign that says, oil for sale. And she had to sell those vessels of oil. Now here's the deal. We ask the Lord to supply, right? Here's another prayer. You can ask the Lord to give you the wisdom to do what you can to resolve your problem. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom and insight on what you need to do to solve your problem or to provide what you need. That's how God works. And listen, God can take even that which is very small and He can multiply it in an amazing way. I read about a guy. In fact, I might have met him. There's a guy, I think he's dead now. His name was Rich DeVos. Now you say, who is Rich DeVos? Well, him and another fella up in Ada, Michigan, they got an idea. They wanted to manufacture a real good soap and sell it. So they went and converted their garage, and they had some tubs put into that garage, a garage and a house. And they had this, they made up a formula, and they made this soap. And then they started bottling that soap by hand and sell it, and went to the grocery stores and things and you know, different places, hardware store, whatever, to sell this soap. And people started liking the soap. They liked it. And so they had to build more tubs. And finally, they got a little warehouse, Brother Joel, and they continued to make soap. And then they started making shampoo, and then they started making other byproducts of that soap. And then Rich DeVos got an idea. He said, you know, let's get other people to sell our soap for us. And they developed a multi-marketing enterprise to sponsor people who would sponsor other people who would sponsor other people to sell soap. And they called it Amway. And Rich DeVos became a multi-billionaire. And they started with a tub in a garage. Isn't that amazing? And I can point even to you guys in here. I've been around here long enough to see some of you that started with a pickup truck and some shovels. Yeah. It's all you had. And now where are you? God's been pretty good to you, right? Small things. You ask God, bless this, Lord, and He can. And He can give you the wisdom to do it, to do some things. That's the way God works. You can complain, listen, and there's a lot of people that do. You can complain about what you don't have. Well, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't know this, I don't know that. And that's why most people aren't successful. They spend all their time complaining about what they don't have, who they don't know, and all that. What do you have in your house? What do you have in your house that God can multiply? You might be amazed if you really think about what you've got in there. What's the best thing you can do? Well, the woman went to the prophet because why? He had a word from the Lord. And I think we will always get help and leadership when we consult with the Word of God about what He wants us to do. Now here's lesson number 4, and this is probably, I guess, the spiritual end of this whole story, what I think is, and that is that the debt must be paid to save the sons. So here is a miracle of oil, a jar of oil. But you know, the miracle is really a picture of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. It was selling the oil that paid the debt that ensured that the sons would not become slaves. The debt has to be paid to save the sons from slavery. And this goes right back to the Old Testament. You know, there's a scripture that says, if your brother that dwells by thee is waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant, and as a sojourner he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. Oh, that 50th year. That's when all the slaves were set free, in the year of Jubilee. Well, this woman in her distress is a vivid picture of the sinner under his debt. The sinner has a debt. It has to be paid, or he'll have to pay the penalty. And the problem is, there's nothing you can do yourself to pay that debt. The debt of your sin, that is. As the psalmist said, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and ceases forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. Psalm 49. We can't pay our debt of sin. That's our problem. I mean, there's nothing you can do to pay off your sin debt. There's only one that can pay that debt. And we have a Redeemer. We have a willing Savior named Jesus who paid our debts of sin. Jesus Christ took our place on the cross. He stood in the sinner's place to satisfy God's holy justice against you, against your awful sin. If you don't have Christ, you're in debt. You're in trouble. But we have a Redeemer who paid our debt of sin. And the miracle shows that here was a woman destitute, yet God gave the oil, and He gives us the Holy Spirit who leads us to Jesus Christ who paid our debt. And when we come to Christ as sinners and we receive what He did on that cross, Do you realize at that moment that your debt is totally absolved? Your debt is then totally paid. You get to go free. You go free. Because you have received what Christ did on that cross for your soul. And now we are free. And we have been given everything for time and for all eternity. Thank God for the Redeemer. And thank God for the blessed Holy Spirit who showed us what terrible situations we were in and gave us enough grace to see our need and even gave us saving faith that we might come to Christ and receive Him as our only Lord and Savior. And I hope that that is a reality for you. If you have the debt of sin hanging over you, Jesus died for sinners. He is well able to forgive you and willing to forgive you of all your sins. Save your soul. Give you assurance. We praise His name for who He is and what He has done for us. Amen.